Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is, what is Islam? And my special guest today is Abdul Diallo. Let me tell you about Abdul. Abdul has an MBA from Mercer University. He's pursuing a Master's of Divinity in Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. And he's president of Building Bridges to the Truth Ministry. Welcome, Abdul.
Thank you, Harold.
Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
My ministry, Building Bridges to the Truth, is a ministry who has pretty much three purposes. One is to witness to the Muslim. And the second purpose is to go to the churches and teach about Islam and how to reach out to the Muslim.
Now, most people will probably want to know, well, what qualifies you to come on and talk about Islam? So very briefly, give the reason why you think you're qualified to talk on this topic.
I studied the Quran from cover to cover. I went to Saudi Arabia to Mecca twice in my life. And I think I fulfilled all the five pillars of Islam. And I know how to read the Quran, and I know how to interpret the Quran.
Because you were a Muslim yourself.
I was Muslim for 28 years.
Okay. That's what qualifies you. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a lot to talk about. So let's get right down to it. What is Islam?
Islam just means submission. That's it.
That's all.
Submission.
But, you know, I heard someone say that Islam, a Muslim told me that Islam means peace.
No, that is the moderate Muslim after September 11th who don't want to associate themselves with the terrorists. The 15% of Muslims decide to say Islam is submission and peace. But really, if you translate from Arabic word Islam to English, it means submission.
How did Islam start?
Islam starts with the so-called Prophet Muhammad, who used to hang around Ebonite folks, and they used to go outside.
Tell us what the Ebonites are.
Ebonites are a tribe who exists in the Middle East around the 6th century, who used to believe in the Old Testament, but not the whole Old Testament, but pretty much they know the essential book, like the major prophet, they know everything and they believe those people. So Muhammad it was a Christian cult.
Right.
It was a Christian cult.
Right.
They didn't believe in Christ, no. They didn't believe Christ was the Son of God. No, they didn't believe in that. So Muhammad used to hang out around those people. And his brother-in-law took him once in the cave and asked him to do some meditation. And they start meditating there for about four times a week. And one night, Muhammad decided to go by himself to meditate, to go by himself in the cave and start meditating. And then he said he received the angel Gabriel first, who threatened to kill him.
The angel Gabriel threatened to kill Muhammad.
To kill Muhammad because the angel presented himself and he said he came from God to give Muhammad a revelation, Muhammad to go and expand the word of God. But Muhammad, he wasn't qualified for nothing because first he wasn't literate and he didn't think he was good enough to be a prophet. But the angel Gabriel forced him and tried to kill him. And then around 3 o'clock in the morning, Muhammad, he listened everything what the angel Gabriel say, and first, he went and talked to his wife. His wife was a very wealthy woman, so has a lot of power. And when he explained his wife what happened, she immediately told him, that is the word from God, and you need to go and talk to people. But Muhammad never believed in that. But
what did he think it was? What did he think was happening to him when he was in the cave?
He definitely was the Satan, the devil.
He thought it was a demonic spirit?
Yeah, pretty much his wife convinced him to believe that's the word from God. And from then, Muhammad started to go against the polytheists because the city of Mecca was full of pagan who was to worship moon god, sun god, all the blue god the pagan has. So Muhammad was proclaiming the monotheist, only one
monotheism,
god. Monotheism
right.
is only one god. Of course, they ran him out from Mecca around AD 622. And he went to Medina. And then when he went to Medina, Medina was a city of Jews. So that was very good for him because Jews believe in monotheism religion.
Right.
So him and the Jews and Muhammad had the pact. Muhammad going to worship his God, and the Jews going to worship their God. But Muhammad and the Jews went too far to give him a position of leadership.
So the Jews gave him position of leadership?
Leadership, yeah. That is exactly how the Jews and the Arab now start to be enemy. First, the Jews give the Arab the position of leadership because the city was pretty much like 50-50 Arab and 50-50 Jews. Because a lot of all the followers of Muhammad, when Muhammad left Mecca, followed Muhammad to Medina. So it was pretty much a lot of folks. So the Jews said, okay, you have a lot of your people live in this city. We give you a position. So, and then Muhammad started to force Jews to become a Muslim. Of course, the Jews refused to become a Muslim. And around, I think in June 30, the Arab attacked Muhammad. June 30, 680, they attacked Muhammad in the city of Medina, but Muhammad won the battle. And he used this occasion to kill 700 Jews. And he took over first the city of Medina, and after that he went and took over the city of Mecca. And Muhammad died in AD 632. And the only thing Muhammad left is the war plan. Like in 632, almost the whole Mideast was Muslim. And by 635, the whole North Africa was Muslim.
So Islam was founded upon violence.
Right.
Okay. One thing I do want to mention, I forgot to mention this earlier, is that you do have a powerful testimony. We can't go over it now.
Thank you.
But people who want to see it, they can go to my website, givinganswer.org, and see it. But it's very, very powerful testimony about your conversion from Islam to Christianity and things that's been going on in your life. Now, also, what I want to talk about, because what happens, a lot of people will consider Islam and Christianity and all these other religions, they will say that they are the same, that all religions are basically the same. And one of the things I want to do with you is we're going to go through the actual theological position of Islam on a lot of the topics so that we can see that they're not the same, because all the religions are different.
Yes.
To say that they're the same shows ignorance of any of the religions.
Yes.
So first of all, let's tell us, what is the Islam's view of God?
Islam believes is only one God. You cannot associate God with any partner.
So then the Trinity is out of the question.
Definitely out of the question for Muslim. They don't believe in Trinity.
So we have a definite contradiction in what we believe in about God. The Muslims believe that God is strictly one and he has no partners. Then Christians believe that Christianity believes in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. So they are opposed. Mm-hmm. They can't be reconciled.
No. Okay. There's no way you can reconcile.
There's no way you can reconcile.
Yeah, because first Muslim believe Christ was a great prophet.
Right.
Actually, they call him the righteous man.
Right.
That's why they call him. But they don't believe he's son of God. They don't believe in that. And they do not believe Christ was crucified. And so they don't believe in the resurrection. So if really in Christian, that's the bottom line. If you don't believe Christ is the son of God and you don't believe in the resurrection and crucifixion, so it's nothing we can talk. We can just go and have coffee now.
Right. And that's a major point. So on a major doctrine so far, just on the nature of God, irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
On the nature of Jesus, irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. Now, an interesting thing about Islam, what does Islam teach then about the crucifixion?
The believer, God raised Christ in the hand of the Jews, and he put the resemblance of Christ in the crucifixion stand, and they believe that's what Judas, because Judas is the one who betrayed Christ.
So they believe that when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't Jesus being crucified, it was Judas being crucified. Mm-hmm.
But they just have the resemblance of Christ.
Just resemblance of Christ.
Yeah, but and that is, I know, like we all Christian, like when you read in the book of Hebrew, we can see God can do everything. It's only one thing God cannot do, he cannot lie.
Right.
And if really God put the resemblance of Jesus, like if somebody told me, now Harold is not in this studio, but it's just the resemblance of Harold, how I can believe in that?
Right. You're right. And that makes God
liar.
A deceiver.
Exactly. God's a liar, deceiver, whatever you want.
And a guy who so a God who's a deceiver, right?
How to believe in God the deceiver?
Right. Right, and he's not the God of the Bible. The exactly. God of the Bible is not a deceiver.
No.
Hebrews clearly says that God cannot lie.
He cannot lie, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what do Muslims believe about salvation?
Pretty much Muslims believe salvation. First, you need to follow the five pillars of Islam, what is a confession, the Shahada. It's only one God, and Muhammad is a prophet. Pray five times a day, fast 30 days once every year, and give 2.5 of your income to the poor, and then go to Mecca if you are physical able and you are financial. First, you have to do that. And then, from then, it is your work, the good and the bad you do. And Muslim believe, everybody has two angels, the bad angel on your left side and the good angel on your right side. And on the day of judgment, God will put your deed on the scale. And then God will be the only one who decides where you will go.
So if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, mm-hmm. you get into heaven.
You will go to heaven. But in Islam, that the other thing, they have like seven heaven. So it's different reward.
Different levels of heaven.
Different level to level. It's same, pretty much the same thing. Christianity is different level of heaven too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is that different from what Christians believe?
Because Christians, we believe like when Christ died for us, he paid everything.
Right.
There's nothing we can do
right.
to deserve heaven, but only the blood of Christ. So we don't have nothing to do.
Right.
But of course, when we are saved, we should we shouldn't pattern doing some sinful thing we do, because like this is sometimes I have to fight with my Islam background and a lot of Christians who tell themselves they are Christian, and they just go and send like some people without no moral in their life. So definitely I believe Christ died for us, but we should put have like James say, what did James say? With salvation without what is a work.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Is what is worthless.
Right.
Yeah, so of course we have like.
So there should be manifestations
manifestation.
Of your faith.
Exactly.
So here we go again. Salvation, according to Islam, you can be good enough. Or according to Christianity, you can't be good enough.
Yeah, because first in Muslim, Christian, we are all born sinful. That's right. What Christian believe. Muslim don't believe we are born sinful.
Right.
Everybody accountable for their sin.
So far on every major doctrine, mm-hmm. they're completely contradictory.
Oh, definitely. The major doctrine, they're completely.
Right. right. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about heaven and hell? What's the view of Islam about heaven and hell?
Pretty much they believe like the wicked will be judged. Like how we Christian believe too, the wicked will be judged, and definitely they believe in hell and they believe in heaven. Really, the Quran do not teach too much about heaven or hell, but the only thing we know, heaven is better than here, mm-hmm. and hell is the worst place to be. That's what the Muslims teach. And I think that's pretty much how Christian teach too.
Yeah. Okay. What about the Bible? What is the view of Islam or the Bible?
The Muslims believe the Bible has been corrupt, especially the New Testament.
Correct.
And they believe the person who corrupted the Bible is the Apostle Paul.
Okay, now how do they think the Apostle Paul corrupted the Bible?
Because first, when Paul wrote the Bible, Muslims first believe when Paul was in the middle of the desert, in the Syria, he said he saw Christ, they believe that's a lie. Maybe just a hallucination. He was
hallucination.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they believe. And Paul did this because Paul was angry against the Jews. And so Paul was like trying like to change completely the Jews' view about Christianity. And pretty much Paul created his own religion.
They believe that Paul created his own religion?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because like a lot of Muslims are going to tell you, okay, without Islam is no Muhammad. But they're going to tell you without Paul, it is not Christianity, and I told them, no. Without Christ, it's not Christianity, but not without Paul, because Peter was doing the same thing before Paul.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, mm-hmm. then how do we explain the fact that doesn't the Quran mm-hmm. tell the Muslim to read the Bible?
Yeah, that is when the Quran say to Muslim to read the Bible, it's pretty much the Old Testament. Quran never tell people to read the New Testament. because they believe completely New Testament is made by man. Yeah, that's definitely the belief. And like you can read everything in the Quran don't talk about, they talk almost all the major prophets in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They have one chapter just about Christ, but they don't have no writing about from Paul, nothing about Matthew, nothing about Luke, Mark, or John. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't believe in that.
So what do Muslims believe about Christianity? What do they think about Christianity?
They believe just a Christian are just a loser, and Muhammad, on the day of resurrection, Muhammad will intercede everybody's sin except the Christian, because the Christian create a partner with Allah, and that is the worst sin in Islam, the sin of shirk. So they believe like everybody may be saved, but not a Christian.
So anyone can be saved but a Christian?
Yeah, because a Christian associates God with a partner, Allah with a partner.
And that partner, because we believe in the Trinity, mm-hmm. and because we believe in the Trinity, we've basically committed the unforgivable sin.
Yeah, that's why, because for them, we believe in three gods. But really, we don't believe in three gods. It is one God, but three distinct persons.
Right.
But the essence, it is the same.
Right.
But it's no way you can explain a Muslim, Christ is a God.
Right.
They believe Christ did all the miracle. He was born of virgin. But they don't believe he's a God.
Then what do they do with the evidence for the resurrection?
Oh, they don't believe. First, somebody who don't believe Christ died on the cross. So how are you going to talk to the person about the resurrection? They believe God raised Christ, and God has him somewhere, sit somewhere waiting for the day of resurrection. And they believe Christ is going to come and establish the kingdom of Allah. And on the day of resurrection, Allah is going to ask Christ, Isa, because that's why they call the Christ, Isa, did you tell them you are God? And Christ is going to say, I never told them I am God.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, Muslims do believe in Jesus. It's just a different Jesus.
Yeah, they believe he's a righteous man. Like, they believe Muhammad is the last prophet, the greatest prophet. And just after Muhammad is Christ. Like, Muslims has a lot of respect. They don't even, all the time they call Isa, they will say, peace be in him. And they call him the righteous man. That's like sometimes, like I told people, if you want to witness to a Muslim, just tell a Muslim, can I talk to you about the story of Isa? I'm pretty sure, like, 85% of Muslims would love to hear what you talk about Isa.
Now, that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to establish the fact that these religions are different. Mm-hmm. Now, they're completely different, because when we talk about a religion, we talk about the theology. We talk about their beliefs. Now, how do they support what they believe? How do Muslims support their belief systems? About their belief about God, Jesus, the Bible?
They support a lot with the faith.
Okay.
Muslims, they believe a lot with everything for them is nothing, because first, is nothing you can prove about Christianity, because you cannot prove the past. You can just bring the evidences.
Right.
Muslims don't believe in that. Muslims believe when you talk about God, it is a belief. And you need to be strong in your belief and practice what God asks you to do. And they have the Quran. They have, like, Islam, different than Christianity. Christianity, you just need one book, the Bible. Everything right. is there. But Islam, you need three books. Because the Quran won't tell you how to pray. The Quran won't tell you about confession. You need the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Hadith.
Explain which each of those are.
The Sunnah is just the Muhammad way to Allah. That is, in the Sunnah, you're going to find all the prayer, what you need to do, what Muhammad did. And the Hadith is the saying of Muhammad, what Muhammad agreed. Pretty much is the jurisprudence. Like, I'm pretty sure you hear about the Sharia, like a lot of Muslim country. Actually, I think you have only two Muslim countries who still practicing the Sharia. It is Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. And you have some state in Nigeria, in Africa. Almost Nigeria has 26 states. They have almost 19 states still practice the Sharia. And like the Sharia came from the Hadith.
What is the Sharia? I mean, if I walked... What would I notice as a Christian, and I went to a country that exercised the Sharia law, what would I notice about it?
The Sharia, if you are a Christian, do not apply on you. No. Like you go to Saudi Arabia now, if you commit adultery, they cannot kill you, because the Sharia stated it is just applying to the Muslim.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sharia do not apply to you. It's the Islam law. That is when they go to the court, that's like a constitution for them, the base of what you did, that is how they judge you, is through the Sharia. But again, the Sharia applies just to the Muslim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. We hear that Islam is growing very rapidly around the world. Is that true?
Definitely, that's true. And if sometimes that's it, like I'm not Muslim anymore, but I still have a lot of thinking Islam. I'm glad I was Muslim because first, Muslims are really serious what they do. Mm-hmm. They believe in their religion. And I am very proud of a lot of missionary, Christian missionary who go to Africa or to other countries in the world. But the good job they do not do, first, the Christianity came in Hebrew tradition, the Jewish tradition. And after that was in Greek, the Greek tradition. That's mm-hmm. how the Christianity. And now the Christianity become a Western religion. So you have Western missionary who will go to Africa or to Asia. They don't want just teach the Bible, but they want to impose people in their view. And Islam don't do that. Islam, they will send you the 3 books you got to read and apply in your own culture. But the Christian missionary going to have their Bible, and they're going to force people to believe in their view, like how they see the world view. And of course, we need to understand when God say, to Abraham, all the nation will be blessed. And when Muhammad, when God say about all the nation, he say all the culture. Like, the world is not made only the Western culture. The world is made with different culture. So people really get deceived sometimes with the Christian because they come and impose people their way of being. And Muslims don't do that. And of course, you have the poverty level too. Because like a Muslim is pretty much what he's calling. First, they don't try to change people's life, like to follow them. And like I can just jump to something like all 2 countries colonized this world, the French and the British.
If you colonized read
the whole world, okay. The whole world, 2 countries, French and British. And who was the first to went in Asia, in Middle East, in Africa, was the missionary. And then they used the mission, they used Christ to colonize people. It's like one former African president say, when the missionary came, they give us a Bible, we bow our hair to read the Bible, and when we left our hair, they have our land, we have just a book. So that's why sometimes like people when they saw missionary, okay, there again, they come and just try to take our land.
Right.
So that's like sometimes like, it's, everything is about the view. How, because like Christian need to understand the Bible, it is enough.
Right.
The Bible, it is enough. And that's what we don't really pretty much, we do sometimes good job teaching, I believe, because like God wants us to go over there to teach people, but I don't believe we need to go and impose people our lifestyle. And so, Muslims don't do that.
So how would you recommend to, well, because this is what you do. I mean, I know we've been friends. I mean, we're friends. I mean,
yeah.
We're sitting here talking, but we fellowship weekly. Mm-hmm. We talk to each other regularly, so we're friends. So. Because I know how you do this, so I'm asking you to share with other people. How then, as Christians, should we share the gospel with Muslims?
Okay, when Paul went to the quarantine, what he did before he talked to the quarantine, the city in Corinth, before he started talking about Christ, he would turn around, look at their lifestyle, how they was living. Paul didn't try to impose, to change their lifestyle. Of course, Paul teach them the true doctrine. And I believe if you want to witness to the Muslim, try to understand their culture. What to do to don't offend them. Because it's very easy to offend Muslim. Very easy.
And why is that?
Because that is their tradition. That is their tradition. Like in my tradition, like you go to my hometown, you need to take your shoes off before you step in the house. How are you going to come and talk to me about Christ and you're going to have your shoes in my house? That's the first you need to know how I live.
Because I've offended you already.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Exactly. So I don't want to even hear what you're going to talk about. And all like you told yourself Christian. Muslim love the Bible. You're going to have a hard time to give a Muslim a Bible and they're going to say no. Because the Bible is the best book you can have. It teach about morality.
Right.
But how many Christians do follow the Bible? You have a lot of Christians sometimes, yeah. They have the Bible in the back of their car seat. And they're gonna read the Bible on your own.
You stepping on my toes now.
So just read the Bible. So how are you gonna have your Bible? That is your holy book on the back seat of your car.
Right.
So you need. It is really like sometimes you need first to learn people culture and know what to do and what don't do. And this is like you have a lot of good literature now about how to do that, or just building bridges with truth. We are here that to train people.
And so how do you do that when you're training people to go out and witness to Muslims? But what about someone like me? Mm-hmm. Because I know you've invited me. As a matter of fact, I will go with you on one of these trips, and we're going to actually go out and witness it. So what do you want me to do? Like, for instance, when I come with you, what should I do? I don't understand the culture. Do I just follow your lead?
No, you have first to read to understand other people. Because I will put you by yourself over there.
Oh, you can put me by myself?
I will put you by yourself. You cannot witness Muslim like a lot of Christians do, go like in a big group and start talking to Muslim. You have to do one-on-one. First, you have to build a relationship. And then you reach out to them. And you know what? It is so easy because it is full on the book of Acts, the whole Bible. Christ, when he came, he built a relationship first.
Right.
Before really he reveals himself, he's a God.
Right.
That's what we did. We need to know how to build a relationship, know how people culture. Christ came, humbled himself, live in the Jews' culture, learn about everything about Jews. He went to Pharisees' school, he learned everything, and then he reveals himself Jews, like as a God.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to be around those Muslims. Understand again, it is only 15% of Muslims are fundamentalists. You have 85% of Muslims are not fundamentalists.
Who are they?
You have 15% moderate who live in Europe, in Canada, and in the US, who know very good about Islam, but now have a movement trying to take all the bad verses of the Quran, because really they don't apply anymore, because like they don't want to associate with the terrorist. And you have 70%, that's my people, who don't know how to read the Quran and who know how to recite only 3 verses. They know how to recite, but they don't understand what they mean. So and they mix the Quran with their pagan god.
Yeah, what do you call it, traditionalism?
The traditional, exactly.
Folk
the
Islam.
Folk Islam. And this was sometimes I thought like a lot of missionaries who go to China and they say people was coming left to right to God. And I just want to knock my head down. I say because China or Africa or India, they believe in 1,000 gods. So they don't have no problem to add Christ in their god for them. Before you talk about Christ, take them out of their god, their 1,000 gods they believe.
Right.
Like some of my folks, they believe in 1,000 gods. Sometimes when I talk to them about Christ, oh, you can add him in our god. I say, you need to burn your woods.
Right,
because
those
are god wood or some iron. You made them. They cannot walk. They can't even walk. You have to move them. They cannot talk. You need to throw those God away before you take my God, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Abdul. For those in the audience, how can they get in touch with you if someone wants to get in touch with you?
They can just contact me through email. Just go on my website, www.buildingbridgestothetruth.com or .org. And my telephone number is 704-582-3427.
Okay. Now, I know the last time you was on my show, you got some threats.
Yeah, but you know what? For me, I believe life, you should have something to die for.
Yeah.
And I have Christ to die for. If I step out over here, somebody shot me, that's all right. Because I rather live with Christ than living with this world where people are just full of lie.
Right. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Abdul.
Thank you very much, Harold.
That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.